Now, today we are shining a spotlight on an important initiative aimed at strengthening the safety and the protection of those who speak up for others, human rights defenders and journalists.
So in South Sudan, many of these individuals face risk both in the field and online as they work to inform, advocate and also defend human rights. To help them stay safe, Hold the Child organization, with support from the British government through the embassy or the British embassy, is conducting a two-day training on physical and digital protection mechanism here in Juba.
Well, now to tell us more about it, we are joined this morning by Mr. Adam Masako Joseph, Human Rights and Advocacy Officer at Hold the Child. Yes, good morning, Adam, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Yeah. The pleasure is mine.
Thank you so much. Let's start this conversation, and we start off. Could you just briefly tell us more about this training? What is it about, and who are the targets?
Thanks so much. The training is based on the physical, digital and the psychosocial protection mechanisms, and the target audience, the journalists and the human rights defenders.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you have been working in this field for long. Since you decided to come up with this training, you must have known some of the challenges or security challenges that these human rights defenders, including journalists, face. What can you tell us about the challenges they face?
Thanks so much. The journalists and the human rights defenders all over the world, not only in South Sudan, all over the world, are vulnerable to the risks, a lot of threats. We have the physical threats. We have the digital threats and the psychological threats.
Mm-hmm.
Digitally, we have malware programs that damage information, that we have spyware monitors the work of the human rights defenders, and it makes human rights defenders to be more vulnerable in their work. They don't feel safe, we have phishing, getting into other people's information,
right,
and coming in disguise and imposting and trying to get what someone does. So it's so risky. It exposes the human rights defenders and the journalists,
mm-hmm,
in this world that is so much associated with a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then physically, we have arrests of the human rights defenders and the journalists,
mm-hmm,
and the detentions. So this happens not only by the duty bearers, by the state actors, but also the non-state actors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for us to equip the human rights defenders or the actors who are in this domain in order to make sure that they are safe every day. It's a very sad truth to say, in each and every moment, they feel vulnerable.
Right.
The degree of threats and the vulnerability is always so high, and the capacity is so low.
Mm-hmm.
So the lower the capacity, the higher the degree of vulnerability. So this training helps to equip them with technical skills on how to go about with their work on daily basis, on how to respond to threats, on how to identify threats.
Right.
Basically.
You better mitigate than to face the threat later.
Exactly.
Yes, talking about the physical training or the physical protection that they are going to be trained on. I'm just curious to know whether you're going to train them theoretically or you will give them some defense techniques practically.
Thanks very much. It's abstract in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about maybe giving them a tangible you know, materials in order to make sure that they're safe, they're protected. You know, human rights defenders, according to the Universal Declaration of the Human Rights Defenders in 1998, it has it that it is a peaceful campaign. It is a peaceful campaign. They're harmless, just like a sheep that is led to the slaughter without even making noise. They don't harm. We give them the technical skills on how to identify, how to assess the situations, you know, in order to make sure that the level of vulnerability is lowered.
Right.
Yeah.
And how many human rights defenders and journalists are you targeting to train under this?
Almost 50. Almost 50.
And are they coming from across the country or only Juba?
Juba. Okay. Juba, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, looking at the roles and maybe also looking at the, how does this training help the participants protect themselves both physically and digitally?
Once you pick the concept, it helps you to know the kinds of, for example, let me cite for you a very quick example.
Okay.
For example, someone is moving. This is a physical protection mechanism. You happen to see a very strange vehicle being parked at your gate. So that is already an indication of a threat. So, you know, sometimes you are called. Sometimes you see a vehicle following you. Today, a vehicle followed you. After 3 days, the same vehicle, the cinema plate follows you.
But you should not even wait for 3 days.
So this, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, God forbid it won't happen for yeah, so it makes you to be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes them, you know, most of times human rights defenders and the journalists get into problems because of negligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ignore certain things. With the protection mechanism, physical protection mechanisms, we don't ignore even minor things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, people believe that some of the threats human rights defenders and journalists, the male ones, face, is the female journalists and human rights defenders face, is a bit difficult, a bit complicated than what male human rights defenders and journalists face. What can you say about that? And do you have any particular attention to gender during this training?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We have that so much. You know, it is a... It is more of the context where we are serving. You know, Africa as a whole. You know, it's so much in Africa because of our traditional beliefs and our understanding what we think about women. You know, women are always, you know, taken as a distinct class of people, people who are not at the same level with men. So, it's just because of the mindset that people have. We pay more attention to women, and they're more prone to threats. They're more prone to risks. They're exposed to risks compared to men.
Right.
So we give them so much attention, and in this training, we have a number of areas that we'll be covering with them.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the roles, it might be a lot of the different roles that will be taken by the partners and the organizers as well. Now, particularly, let's look at what role does the British government through the FCDO play in supporting this initiative?
Oh, it's so amazing. The British embassy, the British government is an amazing government, and they extend the hand of fellowship through the fundings that they give. They give fundings in order to make sure that this work goes on. As we all know, the protection of the human rights defenders is the responsibility of the state. The state and its government.
Mm.
So the government plays that role, but the Universal Declaration of Human Rights Defenders also recognizes the roles that the non-state actors like the civil society, or the NGOs, the activists, or other actors that are not state in nature play. So the British government gives us the support financially in order to help us help us extend the services to the nation.
Mm-hmm. And beyond the training, what ongoing support or networks exist to help journalists and defenders stay safe?
We have a number of networks in South Sudan and the coalitions. We have the Human Rights Defenders Network. Mm. It's doing an amazing work. And we have a number of the human rights defenders who are already members. We have human rights defenders who are already members of the network. We have the coalition on the UPR, the South Sudan Civil Society Coalition, the UPR. It is also doing magnificent work. So those networks help us in navigating through this campaign.
And this training, is it going to be a one-off training, or we are going to expect more series of such trainings, or are you planning to go outside to other states? What is the future plan for this initiative?
Thanks so much. For the start, we are having it here, but this is not the first time that we're having this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We have been having it for a quite long time. The British, this is the third year, actually third cycle that the British government is supporting this program. We don't only build the capacity of the human rights defenders, we build the capacity of all the stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
That includes the government.
Right.
Yeah. So in the near future, towards the end of this month, we're having sessions with organized forces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important in order to help us to have a broader understanding of what human rights is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the violations happen as a result of the ignorance. We don't understand, and some of the human rights defenders think the duty bearers know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that mindset, just know that you're not far from getting into problems.
Now, Mr. Masco, looking ahead, how can the government, media houses, civil society organizations, and even like human rights defenders, one of them, work together to create a safer environment for these actors to continue their work in South Sudan? Because there's no country that exists without journalists, without civil society, without human rights defenders.
Thanks so much. Capacity building is very important. It's very crucial for this moment.
Mm.
And out of my experience, I've learned a lot of things. I've worked with the government stakeholders. I've worked with the organized forces. The members who came into contact with me, those who attended my trainings, majority confessed. And I realized what we need to do a lot. We need to reach others. We need to work together with the state. We know that human rights, the protection of the human rights, is the sole responsibility of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Of the governments, according to the treaties. So it is the sole responsibility of the government. We have to work with the government in order to make sure that we get along well. So the capacity building is very, very, very important for this matter.
Yes, as we are concluding this conversation, and finally, what message would you like to share with those working on the front lines of human rights and also free expression?
Thanks so much. Human rights are God-given rights. You cannot be free unless everyone is free.
Mm.
We know good things are always achieved through a lot of difficulties. You know, there is this statement, the last words of Jesus Christ. I like when he was about to leave, about to go to his father.
Mm.
He told the disciples, I'm leaving you. Where I'm leaving you is not safe. Expect difficulties. There are a lot of challenges. You go through a lot, but don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed, because your efforts will not be in vain. Mm. So human rights defenders just need to understand, need to have this holistic approach, need to have this holistic concept in order to allow them to approach issues with so much alacrity.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Adam Masco Joseph, Human Rights and Advocacy Officer at Hold the Child, for joining us this morning on the Mirror Breakfast Show.
Thank you very much for hosting me.